Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise. And it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Laurie from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But right. I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. We have some really great guests today right now. It actually is a complication because I got two people on the line and I only have one guest supposedly coming in. So what I'm going to do is play a little music real quick. And when I get back, we'll hopefully have Justine Hempstead on with us to talk about her book. So just give me two shakes of a lamb's tail and I will be right back with you guys. Okay, we got that straightened out. One of our guests called in a little bit early, so you'll be calling in about another 30 minutes. But first, I'd like to talk to you guys about this really great author. She has a really great book out called Visions of a Dream, currently available on Amazon right now. It talks a lot about Alexander the Great and his visions of conquest, and really a really good, great book. We're on with Justine Johnston Hempstead on with us right now. How are you doing, Justine?
Hi, fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's been the reception with the book so far?
Very, very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your coming up with this book, how you decided to kind of research into Alexander the Great.
Well, I was in a car accident in 1990. I had a severe brain injury, and I had a lot of severe injuries. I was even paralyzed, and I had to relearn everything in order to recover. And a couple of years after my accident, I was watching a documentary about Alexander the Great, and his perseverance and his persistence, I thought, were so familiar to me. And I thought that I wanted to learn more about him in order to recover from my own injuries, because he seemed so determined, as I needed to be. And so I kept researching him, and in this time I was also beginning to write, which was also helping me to recover. And the more I researched him, the more familiar he seemed, and the more he helped me to recover from my own injuries. And So I one of the resources I had was Arrian, who is an ancient historian. But within Arrian are Alexander's actual words from his actual speeches as brought back by his officers during the wars that he was in. So in these words, I felt like I wanted to write about him, because I felt like his own words opened up so many doorways to who he was as a person. And I felt that taking his words, I could radiate out from them in order to build up his character. And that's what I did. And I found he began to lead a military campaign into the ancient Near East in the 4th century BC. But with that as a backdrop, he was actually on a spiritual journey, an internal spiritual journey. And I write that before he conquers the world, he first needs to conquer his own mind. And he does so through two of his most intense relationships and through his dreams. And the army also has a seer named Aristander, who is traveling with them, who he has some great discussions with. And he learns so much from these other cultures that he enters into. And he's always encountering the unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, how much research did you do in terms of the book? And how long did it take for you to do all this research?
Yeah, I did about 20 years of research. I began after my accident in the early 90s, and I continued to do research. I just continually researched him and studied all the books about him, but I wanted to use Arrian as my central research, because that has his own words in it from his own speeches. And I wanted to radiate his character out from that rather than what anybody else said about him. I wanted to take his character from his own words. But my research has been ongoing for 20 years, building upon building. So it's really been a journey, too. And it's really helped me to recover from my accident.
Yeah, I mean, so much has been written about him and some of the stuff as well. Tell me a little bit about, obviously he had a lot of material. I mean, how was it you to kind of wind down everything and make it into a, make it into the book that is now? And was there a lot of content that you possibly could write a second book?
Yeah. There was so much content. Yeah. But it was all, through his wars and the military campaigns that he embarked upon. But there was so much material already written about that, and through his words in Arrian, I thought there were so many avenues that could be taken through what he actually believed, because in his own spirituality, because he was so fascinated by the cultures that he came into contact with, and he didn't just want to overcome them. The army that he was with just wanted to overcome them and pass on their Greek and Macedonian beliefs and assimilate them. But he was so fascinated by these different cultures and by their different religions. When he was in Persia, he worshipped the Persian religions. And when he was in Egypt, he worshipped Amun. And when he was in India, he worshipped the Hindu religions. And he just was fascinated by these other cultures. And I thought that central story of his spirituality and what led him to be so fascinated by other cultures and what led him to be so open to the other cultures and so fearless when he came into contact with them, not only physically, of course, but just spiritually and emotionally. He was fearless. He would wear their clothes. And it didn't matter that that he was Greek and Macedonian, that all his men were. He felt that who they were was strong enough that they could encounter other cultures, and they could, and that he could identify with other cultures while still retaining his own culture. So that was the thing that I wanted to focus on the most, was his sincere fascination with these other cultures. So I feel like that is the heart of it. That's the heart of the story that I wanted to capture. And I wanted to follow those different avenues and know what led him to be so fascinated by other cultures and what led him to be so fearless. And I think I found that in his spiritual beliefs, in his religion, and his worshipfulness.
Now, I think there's the story about how Alexander had, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but there was a huge knot that if somebody could untie that knot, would be able to people, and he ended up just cutting the knot, as far as I remember it. Did you get into that a little bit and his motivations there?
Yeah, that was the Gordian knot. I'm not exactly sure on my pronunciation, but it was the Gordian knot. And he says, and he kind of fumbled with it for a little bit, trying to untie it. And then he said, what difference does it make how I untie it? And he brought his sword down over it and cut it in half. And right after that happened, the skies broke loose in a thunder and a rain, and they everybody took that as a sign that he was the one that God had brought in to liberate Persia. And he built off of that too. He really believed in all these spiritual signs and everything, all the prophecies. And that right there was a prophecy that whoever untied that knot would go on to lead the world. So he felt that was his calling, and he felt that really focused on him. So that's a great story.
Was there something very interesting you obviously learned a lot about Alexander through your research, but was there something that really kind of surprised you when you started doing research through what he has written or what other people have written about him that maybe not a lot of people know about?
Yeah. I think it's his he's known for spreading Greek culture, but he's known for spreading Hellenism. And what happened was his former childhood tutor was Aristotle. And Aristotle would get really upset because Alexander wanted to learn about and adapt these foreign cultures, and he was really fascinated by them, and he would wear their clothing to identify with him, and he was fearless in that regard. But Aristotle was very upset, and his nephew was in the army with Alexander, so Aristotle would hear about all this back in Greece, and he would start to spread the rumors that Alexander was crazy. He was deranged. He was mad because he was adapting all of these foreign cultures, and he was learning about them, and he loved them. And he would integrate these other cultures into his own army, and his original soldiers would get jealous and frustrated. So when Aristotle would learn about all this, he would get so upset, and he'd start all these rumors that Alexander was just out of his mind. And I think that he's the one that actually really began the reputation that Alexander the Great has now about how he wanted to conquer the world, and he wanted to spread Hellenism, and he wanted to overcome these or conquer these other places that he went into, when in actuality he really was fascinated by the cultures, and he was fearless of learning about the cultures. So I think that Aristotle just really gave him a bad rap. And I think that in the end when Alexander wanted to keep going on, he wanted to keep going on into India and even further east, that his officers and his soldiers would eventually mutiny on him, because they wanted to spread Hellenism, and he wasn't doing it. And so along with Aristotle spreading all these bad rumors about him, they thought that maybe Aristotle, it is a possibility that Aristotle could have sent up some poison to have one of Alexander's own men execute him in that way. And that is a real possibility. They say that he may have died from malaria or some kind of illness, but his symptoms don't really match up to what malaria symptoms are. If they match up more with what a poisoning would be. And Aristotle, having done that, is a huge possibility because he had so many bad rumors about him. But that in itself was surprising, that Aristotle gave him his reputation, really. And because when I first began to research him, I thought that maybe he took it too far and he was crazy too. But In actually learning about Alexander, who he was, mostly from his own words, I found that he wasn't this person that that history has made him out to be, and that was fascinating. So,
yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, first of all, somebody is trying to conquest and win, you know, win, try to get gain as much ground as it possibly is, but then there are people that you know, march their armies in, you know, kind of a shock and awe moment there for early on in early history, and then they basically just say, you know, listen, we're you know, we don't want to fight you necessarily, we're obviously going to outmatch you if we ever face each other, but we'll let you do whatever, just give us a little bit of tribute and give us a little bit of respect. And we'll go about our way. That's pretty much what he did, which was kind of almost revolutionary at the time. You know, when you think that, you know, when, you know, you wanted somebody's land, simply just go out and take it was pretty much the standard back in those times. But
yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's a situation where, yeah, you just, you know, oh, we're coming in. You know, we're going to be out. You're going to outmatch. All we're going to ask is for a tribute for you guys, and you know, some little bit of respect. And besides that, do what you want.
Yeah, and some of these places that he went into, like Egypt and Babylon, they just gave up to him right away. They offered no fight. They just gave up to him, and they said, "Okay, you're the ruler," and that was it. And he would found all kinds of different towns and everything, and it was just amazing the way that he did it. Most of them really gave up peacefully to his rule. So
yeah, you know, I mean, it's a fascinating subject. Like I said, you probably have enough research probably for another book, which would be great to be able to. Is that something that you're going to be doing in the near future?
Well, what I wanted to do was exactly what I did in this one. I wanted to focus on his spirituality and what really motivated him, and what was the fire within him that really prompted him to do this, because I felt, having been through that accident and having recovered from it, I felt like there had to be something really instinctual down deep inside me, because I was supposed to have been paralyzed and stayed that way. And I didn't. And but there was something really instinctual deep inside me that led me to keep working. And I felt like I recognized that in him. And I wanted to get to the bottom of what that instinctual thing was, and what that spirituality and that strength in him was. And I wanted to focus on that, and I wanted to really define that and spell that out and shed some light on it, so that my readers could see who he really is as a person, because he's one of the most famous people that have ever lived. And I wanted people to really know him, because I think that as a person, he was just incredible to know how fearless he was, not only to enter these other lands and to conquer them and to build up his own cities, but to but fearless as in the way of learning about other cultures, and that it wouldn't overtake his Greek heritage or anything, but that it would add to it. And that he could learn about them, and it could really enrich him. And what he wanted to do was to bring this knowledge to the rest of his army too, and to know these other cultures, and for them to be fearless in that way too. But that was where the mutiny came from, because they weren't ready to buy into that. So that's why they mutinied, and that's why he had to turn back. He had to turn back when he was in India against him or anything. They practically worshipped him. But just out of a mutual respect, they had to turn back. They wanted to go back home to Greece, and he wanted to keep moving onward, but they wouldn't have it. So, and on his way back, when they got to Babylonia, was when they think that that Aristotle may have sent some poison up, because that's where he died. And that's where they think that he died. That's where one of the possibilities was that he died from sickness or drunkenness or something like that. But I think he was poisoned. The symptoms seem to go with that. So I use that in my book.
Yeah, you currently have two books out on Amazon right now. You know, any other projects coming up for you?
Well, I'm also in. I'm also a contributor to Chicken Soup for the Soul, recovering from traumatic brain injuries, and I have a novella called Truth Be Told, which is also on Amazon, and my son has made a book trailer for Visions of a Dream, and it's on his page at www.maxgraphics.studio, and it's also on YouTube, and it's beautiful video. It symbolizes the spiritual dance that Alexander is doing right in the middle of his wars, and it really captures the romance of the book right in the middle of wartime. So those are some special things.
Now you guys can check out all this information on justinejohnsonhelmstead.blogspot.com. You guys can check it out there as well. Any other? I don't think you have any social media or anything at all, Justine, but that's basically the main place to get all that.
Yeah, and I have a Twitter. Truth Told is my Twitter name, my Twitter handle.
Okay.
And and then the Amazon.
Well,
excuse
I mean
me?
That's great. You know, I really look forward to seeing if you have another book coming out or at some point, but. Thanks a lot for joining us. And we'll talk
Thank
to you maybe
you.
When you get another book out. And congratulations on the book.
Thank you so very much.
Okay. See you, Justine.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. That was Justine Johnson Hempstead, everybody. You guys can check out her book, Visions of a Dream, about Alexander the Great. On Amazon, so you guys check that out as well. So we have her. We just have a few minutes until until the guys from AllSportsMarket.com show up to talk a little bit about their website. I'm very excited to be able to talk to them a little bit about the website. Right now, all they do is trade teams, so I'm interested to see how things kind of go that way. So we've got a few minutes, between between calls in there. Hello to my Amrose Turk, I believe, just joined us on there. I didn't seem to stay long. but thanks for joining us on Periscope as well. For those of you who are listening live right now on Blog Talk Radio, you can guys can check out the live stream video on Periscope. Just go to, you know, to periscope.com/SWIV1. That's periscope.com/SWIV1. And for you, those of you who are watching on Periscope, you guys can go to blogtalkradio.com/somewhere in Vegas. You guys can be able to listen to this live. Or if you guys want to listen to the whole thing, you guys can check that out on the podcast. And for those of you guys who are watching on delay, you guys can check out everything you know, at the links I just provided. You can follow us on Twitter at SWIV and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. So, yeah, really great to be able to come back on the show. We've got a couple of guests already booked for next week. We've got a guy from the Cuddy Show going to be on the show next week, as well as Rianne Penny, I believe her name is. She's been a longtime guest of our show, and we'll be talking a little bit about love and relationships. That'll be on next week. So I already have next week's show pretty much booked. Then we'll have I think 2 weeks from now, I think we've got a pretty good show in the works. So we're really rolling in terms of the podcast. So, again, thanks for the support and all that as well. So, I'm just trying out this Periscope thing for the past few times, and it's been pretty good. So it's great to be able to be a part of this. So, you know, definitely check us out on Periscope as well. And I'll be doing other stuff around the area. I'll probably do a couple of Periscopes out and about in Vegas coming up in a couple weeks. So look out for those things as well. But a lot of interesting guests coming up. We still have the All Sports Market guys coming up. Bernie Nickel, who used to be an NHL player, former NHL player, and now a representative of that, as well as Jason Henry. We'll be talking a little bit about their website, allsportsmarket.com, which is a place where you it's a free game where you can trade and trade sports teams like the NFL, NHL, and they have a big event coming up July 4th weekend. So we'll be talking a little bit about that as well. And it's kind of an interesting concept. It's very similar to the Hollywood. If you guys are really familiar with the Hollywood Stock Exchange back in the day, this is very reminiscent of that. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the differences and certain aspects of it. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. Time right now. Like I said, at SWIV, you guys can check that out as well on Twitter and on Facebook, Somewhere in Vegas. So you guys check out where our shows are and all that as well. I'm starting to get the Facebook back to going back together. So that'll be great as well. You guys just missed Justine Hempstead if you guys are just tuning in. So you guys can check that out as well. Got a couple minutes. I was hoping that we had some Periscopers that had some questions, but they keep on dripping in and out, in and out, in and out. So I'm not as pretty as Marissa, I guess. But anyway, if you guys tune in, I have to put up a little thing. If you have any questions for some of our guests, I need to do that next time around. So next week, I will remember to put that up, to ask questions. If you guys want to ask questions to my guests, feel free to do so. On the thing as well. And I'm sorry if I don't greet you right away when you get into the room sometimes, but I don't want to interrupt my guests. So it's going to be really great to be able to listen to some of these guys. But I'm really interested to listen to Bernie and Jason coming up in just a few, talking about all sports markets. Like I said, if you guys are sports fans and you don't want to, do the traditional betting and just want to have some fun, this is going to be for you. And they have a little app for this game as well where you can buy and trade teams. And if they do certain, do well, they have wins, they have losses, they win the championship or whatever, then their stock goes up. So it's kind of a nice little interactive game. Like I said, I'm interested to see if they're going to expand this game out a little bit, what it entails, because I know that in Hollywood Stock Exchange, not only could you trade movies, but you could also trade actors as well. So I'm interested to see if that is something that they're interested in doing eventually as well. So this is a nice little alternative to sports gambling. So I'm interested to see how everything goes. And it's a game of skill. You don't know what teams are going to be doing well, if a certain player is going to do well, so their team stock rises a little bit. But I'm interested to see if they're going to be willing to expand at some point. With that in mind, I think we get Bernie on the line here real quick. Are you there, Bernie?
I am.
How's everything going with the site, man?
Everything's going good.
Now, I mean, all sports markets, a very interesting concept. Can you give me a little bit of a synopsis on what the website is?
Well, it's the first ever real money sports stock market where you can buy shares or invest in your favorite sports team. So, you know, for example, any team, the LA Kings, the New York Yankees, if you want to buy shares in them, you can. It's performance based. If the team does well, you do well. It's not betting. It's not gambling. If I invest in the Kings tonight and they lose, you don't lose your investment. It's not, you know, we're making sure people understand it's not gambling, right? So the investment never expires. You hold on to it for as long as you want. The way I look at it is every sports fan is going to want to feel like they own a piece of their team, whether the worst team in the league or the best team. So you buy shares in your team. You look around the league, whatever sport, you know, you're interested in, and you see a team that you think is going to do well. Well, you buy shares in them. You hold on to them for as long as you want. If that team does real well, every time they win, you're getting, dividends paid for every win. But, you know, meanwhile, you still have shares in your own team, and you can, you know, sell this team that you invested in for a short period of time anytime you want and look for another team that you think is going to do well. So to me, the concept's brilliant. And there's nothing out there like it. It's not a fantasy where you have to pick teams. You can invest in your own favorite team. So that's kind of the short and long of it, I guess.
I mean, there's obviously a little bit of strategy here in terms of what you do with the teams. And if you feel that the teams are like a needed, you know, that you see a team that is being on a losing streak and you realize that hey, they could be going on a winning streak really, really quick, and invest. Or you see that there may have been a couple players, their top players, that are on the DL, and then you quickly trade them off to kind of cut their losses because you have a feeling that they're going to cut their loss. So there's a little bit of a strategy in terms of that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, for example, if baseball, you know, you look around the league and you see a team, say you invest in the LA Dodgers, for example, and you're looking at the schedule and you see the New York Yankees have a bunch of bad teams coming in. They got a 3-week homestand. So you invest in them, hold on them for the 3 weeks. Or if, for example, if you see a team that just gets a first round draft choice and, you know, he's going to be obviously a great player, then you hold on to them for a couple of years, like a Connor McDavid. If we did this 2 years ago, Connor McDavid's just amazing. So you buy shares in them, hold on to them for a couple of years, and then turn around and sell them if you want.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's an interesting concept. Like I said, a lot of strategy involved in terms of it as well. How did you get involved, Bernie? And what was the obviously it's something that appealed to you, but how did you get involved?
Well, it was actually my cousin that asked me to get involved with it. He was involved in it for a while, and they needed kind of a sports person.
As far as an NHL or NBA.
Are you there, Ernie?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Sorry, are you still there?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you clear now.
Oh, God, I just lost you, I thought.
Yeah, I could barely hear you up there for a little bit. But you're clear
oh,
now.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's very interesting. I think it's interesting to do it for sports teams. I know that it's very similar to what the Hollywood Stock Exchange used to do back like about a decade or so ago. Instead of this time, it's just instead of movies, it's about sports teams as well. It's great to be able to see this as well. One of the big questions I had is the fact that right now you're only doing teams. Are we going to see players eventually being able to be part of this game, or are you guys just going to be focusing on the teams?
No, just teams. And we've patented that. Our patent's approved in China. When you get into players, then that's fantasy. That's where you got to build your team, and that's more of a fantasy. And, so we don't get into that part. We're strictly teams, and I think that's better. If you're building a team, I think, your favorite team, players from your favorite team are already taken, then you don't get them. So that night, if your team's playing your favorite team, but you don't get any of them, you still want to cheer for your team, right? So to me, I think our way is a lot better than the fantasy way with when you got to pick players.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, like I say, I'm kind of getting embarrassed to what the Hollywood Stock Exchange was back in the day, but yeah, back then they would have actors, and if, depending on how successful the team was or the movie was or what happens with them, their stock kind of rises a little bit as well. But I suddenly
right.
I see that you guys are teams. Are you looking to expand anywhere else? I mean, I'm interested to see if you guys would expand with MMA and maybe have like instead of like an actual team, but like a promotion.
Yeah, for sure. We want to do everything. We're a global company. I think soccer is our next one, but we want to do all sports all over the world.
Yeah, because I could imagine, and this is my idea when I was first, this is why I wanted to talk to you guys. My idea was the fact that, you know, maybe have the UFC be a stock and have Bellator be a stock or Invicta be a stock. And that way, you know, the fans can cheer a little bit more for those promotions as well. And there's enough information. I know, you know, we go off of wins and losses and all that as well. I think in an MMA model, you could easily go off of pay-per-view numbers, how successful a card is, how ratings are as well. So if you guys ever need a consultant, give me a call.
That'd be great.
Absolutely exciting. Yeah. Tell me about the 4th of July event that's coming up. I'm interested to hear what you guys are doing for that.
Well, I think we've had three big events now. You know, I think it's just kind of getting people together to promote different things. A lot of it has to do with they want to do some crowdfunding to hopefully get this thing in an open market. So I think we're trying to get people interested in that, but just kind of, and I think our dated all the time. And then our all our apps are going to be ready.
I think it's you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to be able to see how this goes once it gets to a bigger launch like that when you launch the app as well. People could sit down, I think they could even sit down during a game and possibly trade when you see something's going wrong or something's going right or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly those kind of trades go over a night. Especially, you know, in between games or even in a game where they're saying, okay, well, this team isn't looking very good. I'm going to go ahead and trade them off before the last inning. So that'd be great. I mean, or, you know, they're watching a hockey game or something like that. So right now, hockey, baseball, all the major teams, NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, and basketball are all on the site. You guys are working on soccer right now.
That's right.
Any other sports that we're missing there yet, or I know you said you're going to soccer. Is there a?
Yeah, we got the big four, North America here, and then, you know, our soccer will be the next one for sure.
Now, with soccer, I mean, are we talking on a global-wide basis? You know, obviously there's so many leagues out there in terms of soccer. It's gonna have a lot of teams there, and that's going to be a lot of people, a lot of teams to put on the market there, which is really interesting in its own right. But, you know, how is that for you guys? I mean, that's a monster undertaking. There's more. There's got to be a couple hundred teams that are out there for soccer.
Yeah, so, you know, we just kind of pick and choose the right leagues, right? And then probably start small, but then work our way up. So, you know, I think that's the way we'll go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, and again, you guys can also this is kind of a global product, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. It's global. We got patent pending in like 100 and some countries. It's global. So we want to get every sport worldwide.
Yeah, I'm. You know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see once the app launches. And I mean, right now it seems like a really solid thing. You guys can check out market.com for it as well. You guys can also check them out on Twitter, ASM free app on Twitter as well. AllSportsMarket.com website. You guys can check out some of the stuff as well and their upcoming event coming up July 4th weekend as well. I believe you guys are doing some kind of big event in LA, aren't you?
Yes. July 4th, we'll have a big event there. This will be our third one now. We had a Super Bowl party, you know, just kind of updating everybody with where we're at and moving forward.
Yeah, you know, we talk a little bit about the most expensive sports teams right now. And one, you know, I think it used to be that Dallas Cowboys, I think, used to be one of the highest market value teams there. I think Yankees are probably second in that market as well. I mean, do you see that that's kind of the situation with the website where we're seeing like maybe the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Yankees might be a little bit more expensive in terms of their stock on the market?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the fans, they'll move it, right? Like they'll obviously the more shares that are bought in that team is going to bring the price up. So I know the Cubs are high, obviously because they won the World Series last year, but Tom Brady, their team, New England Patriots, they're up there because of them winning the Super Bowl. So, but your huge fans, teams will move the scale on the teams for sure.
Well, speaking of moving, I mean, I believe you guys started to say before the announcement happened where the Vegas, the Raiders are moving to Vegas right now. And obviously that's a big deal in terms of what their business model or what they're going to be doing as well. I mean, you know, does stuff like that affect the market at all? Do you know?
No, I don't think so. Like the Raiders they'll be a high priced team because they're a good team, you know, and the fans know that. I think with some moves they made this year, Marshawn Lynch, an unbelievable running back, their quarterback's as good as any. So they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. So that'd be a good team to get on right now. If people already haven't, I think they're going to do very well.
Yeah, now we're in the middle of the NHL playoffs right now as well as the NBA playoffs. I mean, you know, have we seen a little bit of heavy trading in terms of the playoffs and what teams are advancing to the championship as well? Obviously, if they win a championship, their stock rises. So how's the action been
That's
so
right.
far this past?
Well, I think it starts right around the middle of March when they're making trades to finalize to make the stretch run in the playoffs. So you'll see, like, Pittsburgh's going to be high because of them winning last year and as good as they are. Washington's getting some action, too. So, and New York. So the teams that are still in it are going to be high-priced teams.
Are we going to see expansion into college teams coming up? Because, I mean, I can only imagine how much matters would be for you guys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're going to do that too. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy for you. I think that'll be a solid market for you to be an alternative. You know, once they name those 64 teams, you know, people will start investing heavily on who they think is going to win the championship. And it's going to be crazy. I really look forward to that as well. It's just absolutely great to be able to see you guys do something like this in terms of the action as well. You know, it makes everything a little bit more exciting in terms of, like I said, it takes a lot of strategy to know when a team's doing well, if a team's doing certain things that'll raise their stock or lower their stock, you know, officially on your guys' place. So it's great to be able to see that as well. So we got the new app coming out as well. You guys said allsportsmarket.com. You guys can check out the game there as well. Anything else coming up for you guys?
Nope, that's it. We're just getting ready. Like I say, we're launching all the apps, phone apps for we have the Apple right now, but every phone app, and just improving our website and just building clientele. So we're going good.
Yeah, now Bernie, I see you're 702, so you're in my neck of the woods, Vegas. So, you know, how's it been to be able to have kind of some reputation, you know, representation in LA, also in Vegas as well? And also, how's been the reception from the sports players in terms of this game?
No, it's been great. You know, we've sat in with the league, and what we're going to do is, at the end of the day, is every transaction made in whatever professional sport, we're going to give 50% of every transaction made to that league. So it's free money for them. I think they're looking forward to that. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a pretty fun situation. It's a little bit different than just placing your bet on a team. You're actually, you know, in it for the long haul as well, and you can cheer on your team that way as well. So it's great to be able to see that as well. You know, like I said, I'm very interested in this to see how this kind of goes. Hopefully the launch goes well coming up in July, and you know, I really look forward to some more of these announcements, and you know, see how everything's going to go. You guys can check out on Twitter at ASM Free App on Twitter. You guys check out the website allsportsmarket.com. And Bernie, are you on Twitter at all?
Goes 9 on Twitter and Facebook. So if they have any questions, they can hit me up there, and I'll answer anything they need.
Well, that's great to be able to hear that, Bernie. You know, definitely everybody needs to check out this game as well. Bernie, been a pleasure talking to you, and best luck with the app, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
No problem. That was Bernie Nichols, everybody. You guys, you can check him out, you know, at Bernie Nichols 9. But you can also check out you guys can also check out allsportsmarket.com to play the game. At ASM Free App, you guys can check that out as well. I guess you do have to pay a little bit of money, but that's not necessarily on betting. It's just investing. And some of that goes back to your favorite sports league. So you guys can check that out as well. So we do have a little bit of time between our next guests. Our next guests are going to be two really great musicians, JV and TV. Get this up here real quick. Hip-hop duo, JV and TV, TG, TJ. JV and TJ. JV and TJ. They have a single called "Turn It Up" that's currently on, you know, working its way up the charts, as it were. So we'll be talking to them. Really great Canadian duo. I need to put up their information while I'm at it. Great to be able to talk about the app allsportsmarket.com. I'm really interested to see how it goes. I mean, the Vegas situation here, we love our betting, but this is going to be a little bit different than that. And they're really looking different direction on that as well. You know, 1 second, I'm pulling up the information. And it's not like we have a lot of periscopers right now on there as well. And I got to take a look and see if I can find their pace kit. There you go. So I can tell you a little bit about these guys. These guys are based really, really up there in by the looks of it, New York. I'll ask them a little bit about that. It's Music on a Mission is what they call it on there as well. They are really, really inspirational guys. They do a lot of charity work. You know, they've been on Fuse TV as well. So these guys are going to be really great to be on the show, JB and TJ. And they've played, you know, on stage with pop acts like Natasha Bedingfield and Sugar Ray and Coolio and The City High. So it'll be interesting to talk a little bit about their, like I said, their new single is currently on radio. So if you're listening to the local radio, they're going to be able to talk a little bit about that as well. But I'm interested to see a little bit about what these guys are about and all that as well. So really two great guys. So we'll talk to them shortly. Give me 1 second here. Actually, they might be calling in, so give me 1 second here, guys. I will get you locked in. You might zoom in a little bit early here.
JV and TJ, are you there?
518, are you there? Give me a second, guys. 518, are you there? See if they were there. I can hear them. So see if they'll call in. I'm going to play a little bit of something here and make sure my audio is going good. Yep. I just want to make sure that the audio is okay. So it was their end. See, sometimes the studio doesn't work very well. So let's take a look and see if we can get them on now. Okay, there we go. JV and TJ, hello. Are there?
Yeah,
there?
This is JV. Yeah, do you hear me?
Yeah, I see you fine.
It's just JV right now. Tej is en route, and I'm trying to get him connected through the other call. I'm not sure if he can hear us right now.
I can hear you. We're fine, and we can, you know, we've got time, so. So let's you know, first of all, how's everything going with you two?
Everything's going great, man. We're just working hard and grinding and putting together some new stuff on top of that latest single, Turn It Up.
Yeah, you know, tell me a little bit about how you guys came up with the song, and did you guys come up with the beat first, or was it the lyrics, or tell me a little bit about the process.
Tej, actually, you know, we have two separate little studios, and we kind of, you know, just bounce ideas off each other. And we were looking for, like, an upbeat type hip-hop R&B-ish club song. And, you know, just did the beat first and then worked out some concepts and came up with the chorus. And then we just both kind of put our verses together.
Now, with this in mind, I mean, you know, being able to work at a distance, I mean, this is something that's relatively new within the past 20 years where you could simply, actually within the past 10 years, where you could simply just be one place and somebody could be in another place and you guys can exchange ideas and beats and actual physical music and between people. I mean, how's that for you being able to work between the two of you, you know, in different studios, and be able to know what you know, what each other are thinking in terms of, you know, of the music, and you know, being able to listen to do certain things and exchange those ideas back and forth, even at a distance.
Well, we've hung out and been friends since fourth grade, so it just comes natural to us just to stay connected with each other. We're constantly texting each other about concepts, what we're going to try to do with certain beats that we've come up with. And we also send things back and forth, you know, through MP3. I'll do a scratch vocal, send it to Teej and just kind of vibe off of each other that way.
Now, how's it been for you? I mean, you know, obviously being a DJ as well, I mean, you know, how's it been for you to learn the software and all that as well? Are you self-taught? Was that something that you kind of learned along the way in terms of working with other producers? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, for a while, we were working, you know, with a bunch of different producers, and we got to the point where we said, you know what, let's learn how to work on this stuff on our own, come up with our own concepts, our own beats, our own style, and we just taught ourselves. You know, Teej plays a bunch of instruments, and that helps without question. And then we just kind of, you know, taught ourselves how to do it and put ourselves in a spot where we can make it on our own and not have to really depend on anybody else to get those things done for us.
Yeah, how did you and Teej get together?
We've been friends since fourth grade, and you know, I always like to tell the story that when we were in 11th grade, we became really, really close. We actually went to these people that we would kind of hang out and work for every once in a while. They asked us to stack bricks for them. Like, just stack some old bricks for us in our backyard. So we get together and we're hanging out and we're stacking bricks and working nonstop. And ultimately, we started talking about music. And it was just nonstop about hip-hop and different things that we wanted to do. And we just kind of connected and realized that we both had a passion for expressing ourselves through music.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, after high school, did you guys kind of go all in with the music? Did you guys go to college at all?
You know what? Tim actually went out to Seattle for a little while. And I started going to school. He came back after a little bit, but we were kind of, you know, slowly but surely working on it. We really got going on it, I'd say a year or two after high school, really started pushing it. And now we've just kind of come into our own where it's, you know, pretty much our full-time thing.
What did you guys listen to growing up? What were some of your influences?
Man, you know, we listened to Biggie, Tupac, you know, all the old school stuff, Das Effex, Black Sheep. But, you know, we would also listen to things like, you know, groups like the Beatles and the Jackson 5 and New Edition. And, you know, we would listen to anything that could get you moving or anything that was upbeat. You know, we don't discriminate against any kind of music. If it's good music, it's good music, and we'll hang out and listen to it for sure.
Now, I believe you guys are from New York, correct?
Yeah, upstate New York. We're about, you know, 15 minutes outside of Albany, 20 minutes outside of the capital.
Yeah, have you guys performed in the area initially? And, you know, what's it been like to do it in front of a crowd?
We've done a bunch of shows in our area. We love performing live. You know, you can't be getting in front of the crowd and doing your thing, and we really try to cater our shows into being an event and being a party. We love going into a bar, making it just like a big party for everybody, hang out, do our thing, and ultimately just get people out to have a good time and enjoy themselves in like downtown Schenectady or Saratoga or wherever we're performing.
Are you guys looking to expand a little bit more in the area? I mean, I can only imagine that you guys want to tour eventually the U.S., but, you know, what's your kind of your touring goals in terms of the next year or so?
You know, a big thing we would love to do is get involved in, like, a bunch of radio stations always have those summer festivals, or just go and travel and perform at individual festivals. We did a tour in the past, all those FYE stores. We did like a Northeast tour, hit Buffalo, Boston, New York City, pretty much anything within 3 to 4 hours of us at home. But, you know, we're willing to go anywhere and perform anywhere and do a show if it lines up with our schedules.
You know, I mean, here in Vegas, I mean, I think you guys would probably do pretty well. I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple clubs start to, you know, bring in some lesser known acts and really, you know, kind of push them out, even if it's on an off night. But, you know, you know, you definitely give bring the vibe that, you know, what a Vegas club show would be more. Yeah, more that. So, I mean, you know, I think that'll be interesting to see if you guys can be on our neck of the woods eventually.
We talk about Vegas. Yeah, we talk about Vegas all the time. We would love to come out and do shows in Vegas. That would be a dream come true, because our vibe is just party, hang out, have a good time, and I think it fits that city for sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with that in mind, I mean, you talk a little about party atmosphere as well. I mean, how is it for you to be connected online to your fans and, you know, to be able to have that network and say, okay, we're having a show at this certain place at a certain time, and then you get probably tons of fans that come out, you know, and let people know about that as well. How's that relationship between you and the fans, and especially being able to have the ability to say, okay, we're here, bring your friends, and we'll have a good time?
I think people know they've come out to see us. They know the party atmosphere is what we're bringing, and it's about having a good time. And ultimately, the social media aspect has been amazing. You know, just Facebook, Instagram, getting people to come out, and we get great turnouts, especially in our hometown, and people come out and support us and definitely come out and have a good time. And we go down to a spot in downtown Schenectady called Firestone 151. It's got a really cool vibe, outdoor patio, and that's where we do a lot of our shows. We did our record release party there last year, and we actually have a summer kickoff party coming up on June 24th. It's a Saturday night in downtown Schenectady.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's kind of interesting to be able to have like a local fan base as well, and hopefully – the new single here kind of gets you guys a little bit more recognition nationwide as well. I mean, you know, what's been the reaction so far with the new single?
You know, we've gotten some really good reviews. I think people are recognizing that we're kind of going back to that old school hip hop type vibe, and we love the new stuff, like the Kendrick Lamar type stuff. You know, I have nothing but respect for that new style of hip hop, but we love that 90s, 2000 type vibe, you know, just the hangout, party, R&B-ish/hip-hop sound. And we've had a lot of people that really enjoy it. They like it. And we hope we can push it out even more, you know.
Now, you know, have you guys, do you guys have a video out for this? Are you guys interested in making a video if you don't?
Yeah, we're actually in the process of figuring out shots for a video for this song. We're kind of doing location stuff in downtown Schenectady and trying to map out what we're going to do. We should be done with the video within about a month or so.
Well, that'll be interesting to see as well. I mean, you know, right now we're in a culture where a lot of people are really high on singles more than that. And I was watching the other day, somebody had mentioned that the idea that there's, you know, we're going back to the 60s where it was important for the single more than the album to be there as well. I mean, how's it been for you guys to be able to, you know, be able to put out some of this stuff? And I mean, are you looking are you always working to put together multiple tracks and maybe put out an album at some point?
What we have coming up for June, probably mid-June, we're going to come out with like 3 to 4 new songs. But we like the idea of just coming out with a single and really pushing a single, and then like a couple months later coming out with another single. You know, kind of almost like, especially being in upstate New York, the weather's so crazy here. We almost feed off of, all right, we'll come out with something that's got like a fall feel to it, then something for the winter, something for the spring, something for the summer.
Yeah, I mean, that works very well for people, you know, and it keeps the cycle going in terms of where the single goes as well. So it'll be interesting to be able to see where that kind of ends up being. Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of grow that, like to grow that fan base as well. I mean, how is it for you to be able to be on stage and have a, you know, good set? Obviously, you know, you guys have been working for a while on this. Obviously you guys have a full stage show kind of set out on that as well. How's it been for you to look at material in terms of your old catalog? And do you ever dust off anything that you don't do once in a while?
You know, it's funny you ask that. We back in the day, you know, we weren't JV and Teej. We were called The Cast, and we have an album CD that we did years ago, and we were just talking about maybe breaking out one or two of those to perform. We haven't done that yet. We've been really focusing on the stuff that we've done recently, but we may bring out a couple of the old songs just to sprinkle in something different in our sets coming up.
And as an extension to that, is there anything that you guys have maybe written down or maybe beats that you had and you kind of put aside and then, you know, maybe for a rainy day come back to, or have you had the opportunity to go back to some of those tracks that you may have not have developed a little bit and then figure out an idea for them?
Yeah, we're always thinking of different ideas and different concepts and almost like jotting stuff down. You know, notepad. T's just joined us. He just got here.
What's up?
But we're always thinking of.
What's going on? Good to be with you. I was running a little late today. One of them crazy hectic days.
No problem at all. JD, go ahead and continue your thought.
What's that?
Hey, go ahead and continue your thought, JD.
We definitely have, like, ideas that we're constantly thinking of that you just kind of jot down in your phone and then maybe go back to them later when there's a bed or a beat that we think fits.
Yeah, you know, Teej, we were talking about the idea of, you know, coming back to ideas as well as, you know, maybe bringing back some old stuff. And JV was just saying that you guys were looking to maybe bring back some old stuff, some of the older stuff from the from the back in the old days, as it were, for the group. I mean, you know, how's it been for you to be able to maybe look back at your progress and how far you guys have progressed since Sunset, the early material?
Oh, it's kind of fun to look back and listen to some of the old stuff because you can really see how far we've come, you know, not only lyrically, but, you know, on the production side too. You know, it's just all the little tricks that you learn, you know, from project to project and really from track to track. You know, it's even when we look back at the full length album that we did last year versus, you know, these songs we're putting out for this EP, you can really see growth. And it's always nice to kind of see that progression in your art. You know, it's really nice. But, you know, we have been talking about bringing back some of that old stuff because, you know, we still have fans in our shows that would remember it and they'd probably love it,
yeah.
You know, if we, like, put a new school twist on some of our old stuff. So, yeah, we've definitely kicked that idea around and
yeah.
It could be fun.
Now, Teej, JD was telling me that you had spent some time in Seattle as well. How is it for you to be out there in the Seattle scene for a little bit and be able to hear what they're coming up with on the West Coast?
The Seattle music scene is great, and, you know, I still track some artists out that way that are still putting out some great music. You know, I used to love the old Common Market. Saul's putting out some great music, and, you know, there's some good talent out there. They got their whole vibe going and their whole set of flavor, and I really dig it, and I still track some of those guys today.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to be able to hear where you guys' influence is coming from in terms of the 90s scene of hip hop as well. I mean, we've gotten to a point where it's a little bit, I think, sometimes a little bit too mellow for my taste. I like you know, a nice fresh beat and a little up tone to it as well. So I'm with you guys on that. That's my era too in terms of the hip hop scene, but. You know, I was talking to JV about some of his influences in terms of music. Tell me some of your influences in terms of music.
Well, you know, they're probably similar to what JV had to say. You know, we both grew up in kind of the golden era of rap, you know, just really listening to the greats. You know, I remember, you know, Tribe Called Quest and just knowing their every song back and forth on Midnight Marauder, you know, Busta Rhymes, of course, Biggie, and a lot of the Bad Boy family was a huge influence. Snoop and Dre, of course. And, you know, it's just, like I said, the golden era rappers, you know, Nas, you know, we still listen, they're still on your playlist today.
I told
them
too, like, we don't discriminate. any kind of music. If we like it, we like it.
Yeah,
you know,
agreed.
We'll listen to anything.
Yeah, you know, I'm not big on, you know, I gotta like it because it's so and so. Yeah, if it sounds good to my ear and I can get with it, you know, I'm gonna play it or it's gonna land in my playlist. So, yeah, the influence has been great. And, you know, and it's not just hip hop. You know, there are other influences there. I remember, you know, we went to a Weezer show not too long ago. You know, because good music is good music, and you'll take bits and parts out of every genre, and hopefully you can, you know, turn it into something that you can use on your end.
Yeah, you know, I believe you guys have met Coolio before. What was that like for you? Because he was right in that era.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good show, actually. You know, we were an opening act, like, at a Summerfest for Coolio. And it was brief, but it was, you know, cool to see, you know, one of those rappers that you were listening to when you were a kid. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It was a good show.
Is there any certain act that you would absolutely love to open up for?
Oh, geez. There's so many. You know, we always talk about Snoop. We just love Snoop's vibe. Puffy, like when they do their tours, that would be amazing to get involved in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dre, those guys.
But any current sound,
you know? Current sound. You like Sammy, you know?
Yeah.
Sammy Adams. He's an independent artist out of Boston.
He'd be fun to do a show with. You know, we have a kind of a similar vibe with Sammy. You know, like a decent party vibe going. So that'd be a fun show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to JV Teach about the fact that you need to come out here and do one of the clubs out here eventually, you know, that you guys would absolutely do great out here in terms of the vibe that we get out here in Vegas. So hopefully that'll be something you guys can do in the future. I mean, have you guys actually just been out here just for fun or anything like that?
Yeah, a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. No, Vegas is a good time for sure, and you'll be seeing a lot more of me because my team's moving there in 2020.
Yeah.
I'm a Oakland fan, man.
Teej is a Raider fan.
Yeah.
My previous guest was from the All Sports Market who does a game, online game that trades sports teams, and I was talking to him about the Raiders and their move to Vegas, and they were like going they're like going, well, the move didn't really do much for their stocks. So, but they said that getting a bunch of players though is doing it. So they might be doing it, and they have a nice new stadium. They're going to be getting a nice new stadium eventually. So I think they're still at Sam Boyd, I think, at the moment. So we'll have to see.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
We'd love to come out there and do
some
shows though, man.
Yep. No, we're definitely not opposed to coming and rocking in Vegas.
Guys, yeah. Now, I was going to say that I figured you guys would be Bills fans since you guys are from upstate.
Nah.
No, actually, Tim's a Raider fan. I'm a Lions fan.
Yep.
Believe it or not. Yeah, that's usually the response when I tell people I'm a Lions fan.
Yeah.
They're
like, huh?
What?
Yeah, well, probably very similar to me being a Cubs fan for so many years, and finally, you know, finally last year we ended up winning the championship. So
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you stay up and watch
the
18-inning game last night?
I did not.
18 innings, crazy. Over at 2:30 in the morning, East Coast.
It's crazy when they get into those big, huge games, especially if it's a playoff game. Though that's a little bit. That gets into really bad territory because they, you know, if they're in game three or game four and you get into those late inning games, there's only so many pitchers you got. So, what's your guys' favorite baseball teams?
What's that?
What's your guys' favorite baseball teams?
I'm a Tigers fan also.
Yankees fan. That's the one New York team that I like.
Yeah.
I think we've established that JV, you've been to Raiders games at all. Have you been to a Detroit Lions game at all, Teej?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been to a Lions game. We actually, we went together. When they first opened Ford Field, we flew out there and it was probably one of the worst football games I've ever seen.
It was awful.
Who did they play? The Redskins?
They played the Redskins.
They played the Redskins, and it was like the final score was like 3-9.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, it was bad football. God. The most exciting part of the game was the halftime show when the Pee Wee kids played, yeah. And a kid ran an 80-yard touchdown run. The crowd went crazy.
Yeah, that was the biggest cheer of the night. And
awful.
And a pass interference call.
Right.
That was like the highlight of the game.
Yeah.
My goodness. But
all good. They're on the rise, though. They're on the rise.
It was a fun trip, regardless.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Detroit always had a really good music. It was always a great center of music in terms of terms of like Motown, R&B, and all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, did you guys check any of the sites while you were out there, or are you just in and out for the game?
We were in and out for the game. I think we flew in on a Saturday, left on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was pretty quick.
But we got a little bit of the local flavor there.
Greektown.
For the night that we were out in Greektown. And a couple of clubs here and there, but we didn't really get a chance to soak it all in. But it would have been nice, man, because that really was, the center of Motown.
Yeah, now, TJ, I was asking JV earlier about, you know, the social media presence, especially considering, you have Twitter and all that as well in terms of reaching out to the fans. What's it been like for you to be able to interact with the fans in terms of your music and your shows and, what has that meant to you?
It's been great. You know, we got a lot of love here in the hometown, and the fans that we have, you know, JV and I, we joke a lot. You know, you see these independent artists with a million followers that they paid for, you know, and it's just like everybody's just trying to beef up their presence with a bunch of fake followers. But, you know, our followers are real, you know, and we do our best to engage them. Not only push out some music, but like show them a little bit of ourselves as well. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big skater, I'm a big snowboarder, and I try to connect with our fans by pushing some of that stuff out too. And it's not always, you know, hey, click my link in the Spotify page. You know, it's a little bit more personal and engaging.
Yeah.
And I do, on the other side, I try to engage them. You know, I try to, you know, comment and like as much stuff that I can.
Have any of your fans been an influence in terms of your music, and have you written a song for the fans, or, you know, maybe based off of, you know, what you've been getting as input from the fans?
Doing our live shows, when we get done with those shows, we kind of take the vibe from the crowd and think, you know, how can we come back next time with some stuff that's even better and more upbeat, and it fits the crowd that's coming to see us and still reflect what we want in our music. So we're constantly thinking of the people that come out and watch the live shows, because we love performing, and it's one thing, I think people hear our music, but then when they come see us live, they realize the passion we have for it because of how we perform and how we play off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of how we write and how we go about setting up our tracks.
Now, JV had mentioned that you guys are right now kind of in the process of maybe doing a music video for this next single. Is this going to be your first music video for a single, or have you done one once in the past?
No, this is going to be the first one. So we're kind of excited about it. We have a couple of good ideas, and we're really looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, we're trying to catch some nice sunny days up here, but sometimes in New York that can be a trick in the springtime. But the first, the first nice day that we get, we got a couple of nice shots that we're thinking of to put this thing together and really kind of hopefully encapsulate the entire vibe of the song and get out the imagery to go along with it.
What's been crazy is, like, I think I heard somewhere, I think it was on Live with Kelly this morning, that it might be snowing in New York coming up, in the next day or so. So that would be crazy.
Well, believe it or not, I was talking to a friend out in he's out in Syracuse, west of us, and they got an inch and a half of snow last night. So it already happened, man. It's crazy.
God, that is crazy. About that, you know, but. Hopefully spring comes to you a little bit more soon rather than later, and
yeah,
you guys can shoot this video,
because
I'm looking forward to seeing what the video looks like as well. Anything coming up for you guys coming up with during the summer? Are you guys going to be doing a couple concerts? I know there was one concert JV had mentioned coming up soon, but, you know, kind of tell me what's going on with your summer.
we're gearing up for that June 24th show, and then we'll be pushing our new stuff that we're putting together, and we're hoping we're going to come out and see you in July or August. You let us know, man. You put together something, we'll come out and hang out and do some stuff in Vegas.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know if there's anything I hear on my end of things. So, you know, fingers crossed you guys can do a couple shows out here, or even just hang out a little bit.
No doubt.
So I want to mention
that, you
guys
can
check. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, during the summertime, you know, it's there's a lot of venues up here, Saratoga, a lot of activity. So sometimes we don't really have a lot planned, but shows pop up, and we take them all in stride and jump on whatever we can.
Well, I mean, some of the summer tours are coming up as well, so we won't be surprised if you get a couple of opening gigs for maybe some bigger acts. So we can always hope on that as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, you guys can check out the new single, Turn It Up, pretty much anywhere. I think pretty much anywhere you can get music, make sure you guys check that out. Stay Fresh Team on Facebook, and you guys can check out Tej at T-E-J Stay Fresh on Twitter. And then, JV, do you have a Twitter?
Yeah, I don't really use my Twitter much. I'm more Instagram, JV, Stay Fresh at Instagram.
So JV Stay Fresh on Instagram, you guys check that as well. I'm pretty sure Tej, it's the same thing on Instagram for you. Same as your Twitter.
On Instagram, I'm Timmy Mike, but, the account, like the JV and Tej account is through JV. So we just kind of each manage the social media, you know, through our own accounts, and that's how we've been kind of doing it so far.
Well, that's great. Like I said, Turn It Up is the new single. Like I said, pretty much out everywhere. You guys can check it out. Also, call your radio stations. If you guys listen to the radio and hip-hop stations, request it and see if they can they can play it on there so we can get some airplay. Hopefully, we have a big hip-hop station here in Vegas, so hopefully we'll push that a little bit for you to be able to play it out here as well. So I really hope that ends up going. But anything else that we need to plug or anything, guys?
I just want to thank you for having us on. We really appreciate you having us here.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
No problem at all. Maybe we'll get you back on a little bit later this year when you get another single out.
No doubt.
Absolutely. You'll be hearing about it for sure.
Okay, yeah, and we'll see if we can't hook up during the summer.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, best of luck to you guys, and I really look forward to talking to you guys again, and it's absolutely fun.
All right, thank you.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. See you guys.
Later. Later.
That's JV and Tej, T-E-J. You guys can check them out, like I said, on Facebook, Stay Fresh Team, and at Tej Stay Fresh on Twitter, and then you guys got all the rest of it as well, so you'll be able to see it as well. Their new hit single is Turn It Up, hip-hop duo there as well. So next week, Renee Piani, I believe, is coming on the show. She's talking about her new book about relationships and love, which will be interesting for you guys that are in Periscope. I'm pretty sure you'll have plenty of questions. And also, I think I have one of the co-hosts of The Cuddy Show coming on as well. I can also tell you that next week, in the next couple weeks, probably in 2 weeks, we're going to have a really special guest. If I can get out of this thing here real quick. Here we go. Kenny Ananoff, drummer, who's been on the show before, we'll have him back on talking a little bit about he's going to be in town with John Cougar Mellencamp coming up soon. So we'll take care of that. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week, same time, 1 p.m. Pacific on Monday. You guys can check us out, like I said, on Periscope at SWIV1, at SWIV on Twitter, and somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. You guys can check that out as well. We'll have the announcements and all the important information coming up there as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm.